Hi, welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the weekly podcast where my guests and I explore what it means and takes to be a kick-ass and kind adult these days. Expect deep, real and raw, as no topic is out of bounds. We want lives and businesses that are profitable, sustainable and fun. We want lives that feel as good on the inside as they perhaps look on the outside. And that means adulting the fuck up. I'm Ebony Allard. I'm an award-winning coach, author, and speaker. And if you're ready to implement, go to n2n365.club. For now, though, let's get on with the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode. Today, I am joined by Harriet Jackson, High Priestess, Gypsy Witch, life and business coach. Harriet's spiritual journey started with a betrayal, a suicide attempt, and a Kundalini yoga class, which together created the blueprint for the birth of the Million Dollar Priestess. She's become known as, and her mission is to bring the true meaning of abundance back to planet Earth. She's also my mentor, my high priestess, and my friend. Hello, my love.
Hi, thank you. That was so yummy, delicious. I loved every second of that. Who's she talking about? Yeah, that's me.
That happens to me at the moment. I'm like, oh, someone yesterday like terrified me by saying, I'm just going to read something you've written that like stopped me in my tracks. That I, you know, when you're like breath held and you're like, what did I write? And then they read something back and I was like, oh, thanks. I never would have pulled that out of a sentence, but thank you. And it is a really nice thing to have people reflect stuff back to us sometimes.
Yeah, it is. I'm much needed today. So thank you.
I know you're not going to love this question today, but I almost think it's brilliant and beautiful that we've caught you on a day like today, which we will go into more in a moment. But what does adulting mean to you? What is adulting?
Can we just give some context to my answer? Yeah. And just say I have a very sick toddler. I haven't slept for over a week. Adulting right now just feels like failing completely. I suppose, I don't know, right now my adulting is very much connected to my parenting because I'm a first-time mum. My toddler's never really been ill before, so it's really scary and there's massive responsibility with that whole thing, you know, nursing her to good health. But I think if you asked me on any other day, adulting for the most part, I suppose since I kind of, I don't... Do you cross a threshold where you're like, now I'm an adult? Because I'm not sure that's ever happened. But I think for at least most of my adult life, let's put that in inverted commas, for me, it's been about breaking the rules and making my own rules. It's really operating in a way that serves me rather than operating in a way that I've been told to operate. Do you know what I mean? Like as kids, we get told what to do, told how to behave. And now adulting for me is, no, I get to do this my way, even if it's not a conventional way that adults are meant to behave or do things.
I love that answer for so many reasons. I love it because I think from the outside, many people look at you and think, well, she just does whatever she wants. And, you know, she's got all this money. She's really perfect. She's always got her beautiful hair and her beautiful makeup and beautiful nails. I can't relate to her in any way. And I know that also when people see us together, they're a little bit like, what? And that intersection is the unconventionality, right? It's like actually underneath it all, what people don't know about you is the Gypsy Witch. And they don't necessarily see, they're like... disdain for the rules that you have, which I adore about you.
Thank you. Yeah. The Gypsy Witch, I suppose, is an aspect of me that I've kept in the closet because you're right. It's very easy to put on the polished veneer. And it's certainly something that was drilled into me as a child. I had, what do they call them? Typical stage mom, right? My mom was always pushing me to be top of the class, to win the competitions. I did the ballet lessons, the piano lessons, all the scholarships, all the academia, all the polished performance. So naturally, as an adult, I'm going to continue displaying that polished performance because it's part of my conditioning. But really breaking free from all of that, this is who you are, this is how you do, this is what you be, this is how life works, this is how you adult, breaking out of that really has made me go, fuck all that shit. Are we allowed to swear on this show? I hope so. Sorry. fuck all that shit. I've got gypsy heritage, and it's actually a part of my heritage that my mum's denied, my aunties have denied, my cousins have denied, my own sister has denied, but something that my nana shared with me on her deathbed, like, we do the shadow work, we break the rules, we put a finger up to the patriarchy, to all the binds that hold women down. The gypsy witch breaks that shit. So yeah, making a new world on my own terms isn't polished, it's really fucking messy. And it is in the in-between, but if it works for me, then I'd say that's pretty powerful adulting, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And we give each other permission to be more of what we need, right? Like every person, when we call someone into our lives, when we call a coach in, when we call a mentor in, when we step into this place of learning from one another in sisterhood or in circle, we do so because we see in others something that we desire to honour in ourselves, right? And I've seen a lot, more posts on this recently than I've ever seen before, of people being like, there's so much beauty in the trigger, there's so much learning in the trigger, are you willing to go there? And what I love about you, and I also did it when I worked with Regan Hillier before you, is I chose people who were shiny and who were exhibiting that kind of polished and who tick a lot of societal acceptable standards boxes, but who also showed me a tiny little piece of their unconventional, so that I could say, you know what, I think it's safe for me to be a little bit more polished or a little bit more light. And I'd love if you talk about the light and the shadow, because you said something so powerful to me in one of our private kind of coaching sessions about going as far into the light as I have into the shadow. You're going to say it better. And I think there's just something in that that's really powerful and important.
Yeah, there is. I do remember that session. I remember literally witnessing the shift in your energy as the words landed. It was so profound for both of us, actually. And I think it's really important that we reflect on that, calling what you said about calling mentors in and people who trigger you and pulling them into your world. It's not a one-way relationship. You serve that person as much as that person serves you. And I think you know that. But I think for you, for a lot of your audience, for many people who identify with that unconventional way of being, mm-hmm. a lot of it is... A lot of that identification, a lot of that claiming takes people into the shadow. It takes people into that, well, what do I have to heal? Where is my trauma? Where is my wound? Let me really dig deep with all the things that are wrong with me. Let me deal with my shame. Let me deal with my guilt. Let me deal with the way that I've suppressed myself. And it's deep, deep, deep shadow work. And my God, it takes one hell of a set of ovaries to go there. Like, it really, really does. And I applaud women who can go that deep into the shadow, because a lot of people can't do it, won't face it, and cannot face themselves head on like that. That takes a hell of a lot of power and courage and bravery. But as far as you go into the shadow, it's just as important for you guys to go just as far into the light. And what I found and what I see in you is that because you've gone so deep into the shadow aspect of yourself, it's given you this insane capability, power, and gift to go just as far into the light and to be able to go to the depth of both the shadow and the light. Shows you how much power you can hold in yourself, not just for you, but for everybody else doing both the shadow and the light work. People are so quick to do the surface level shit and be like, yeah, so I totally dealt with that narcissistic relationship and that was my shadow work. And yeah, so what, you know, I stood on my head and meditated for an hour. So I've totally done the light work. It's surface level shit. What you are capable of doing is going to the depths of both extremes. And that is real courage. For me, that's not just adulting. That's like divine beinging, if that's even a word. That is truly the essence and deliverance of your soul purpose, is exploring both extremes with just as much courage and bravery. It's an honor to witness you doing it. It really is.
Thanks. This is why I work with you. There's not many people who are speechless. There's not many people who shut me up with their words, but it's true, right? You know, and for me, I could not work out what the missing piece was. I could not work it out. And, you know, we've had hundreds of conversations about there isn't a switch, it isn't a piece, it isn't a thing. But for me, that kind of was the switch. It was like, oh, I've got too comfortable here. I've got too comfortable in the shadows. I've got too comfortable in the identity of the misfit. And I haven't really gone into, like, the maven side or the light side with as much depth. And I see so many people who... And these were my exact words. It's like, I don't want to be all just love and light, namaste, Harriet. I just can't. I hate it so much. What do you say to those people who think that the light is shallow, right?
Do you know what? I don't blame them. I don't blame them for one second, because since we undid the taboo around spirituality, it's become trendy. It's become a fucking hashtag. It's become a role of another sprightly, skinny, boob-jobbed, lip-jobbed Instagrammer. I am so not judging. I applaud them, actually, for facilitating a route for more of the mainstream to come into spirituality. But for those people who've already got a deep soul connect and actually deep self-respect, it is a turn-off. It is off-putting, because you're doing the soul work, whether you want to call it shadow work or light work, and then you are seeing these 20-something-year-olds bouncing around on Instagram, making it all shiny, and it looks shallow, and it triggers people because they think, but I don't want to do shallow, and if that's what it is, that's not what I want, and it turns them off, and it turns them away, and so they end up doing more of the shadow work, which, like I said, it's not a bad thing. But the light work isn't what it's bounced around on Instagram as. The light work for me is just as challenging, just as dark, just as confronting as the shadow work, because it does take, again, a lot of balls and a lot of courage to go at it with depth. I think the difference here, the piece that people are missing, is depth. You, like we said, we can scratch the surface of shadow and light work, or you can go really, really deep. And when you go deep into the light work, you're just as confronted with blinding light as you are when you go into the shadow work, when you're really confronted with the darkness. Both are terrifying because both are outside of the remit of the work that we've been willing to do. So I think to the people who are turned off by the namaste and the light fluffy stuff, I'd say you're not being challenged enough by it. You're not being confronted enough by it. Go deeper until it scares the shit out of you, until it blinds you into stupor and silence. That's when it's really doing its thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things I've been really playing with recently is this piece around receiving, right? Like, if you've got stuff around money, if you've got stuff around love, if you've got stuff around health, really, and like vibrancy, mm-hmm. it's light work you need to do.
Yeah, it is, because the shadowed stuff can dig up all the dig up all the wounds and dig up all the traumas so that you can see it, but the shadow work's not going to heal it, right?
So for me, it's like that. You could, in the shadow work, we create the container. In the shadow work, we create the capacity to for there to be somewhere for it to go, right? For it to not get swallowed. And so I couldn't make money in all the light work I did before I did any shadow work. Like, I could make money or I could make love, but I couldn't hold it, couldn't keep it, couldn't sustain it, because there was too much. It would just vaporize into the shadows, right? So now I've done that shadow work. I have a vessel to receive. I have this space available that is inviting for the light. Now I need to go into the light and create, right? And produce.
It's the double whammy of both.
Yeah.
Because if you can go as far into the light as you can the shadow, what you create is expansion. So you can do just shadow work and still, you know, make money, bring in love, you know, do the things. Or you can just do the light work and you can make money, bring in the love, do all the things. But do both, like both ends of the spectrum, you're suddenly expanding your capacity to create more, for the container, for the receiving, for the co-creation, for the reflections, the assignments, like all of the things. Going to both ends of the spectrum ultimately just creates more space. And if that's, if you need space for receiving, then that's exactly where it's going to happen.
I love that. And it's, I love that because it's this duality piece again that is so important in everything that I do. And I think that the people that I resonate with and call into my world, they're like, but it's this and this, right? And it's this idea of being Maven, of holding more than one truth in the palm of your hand. You know, it's my great-grandmother, my grandmother came to me in a dream and handed me this word. And before that, I'd never heard of it. I didn't know it was Jewish. I didn't know it had been passed out. Like, I didn't know any of those things. And so when I named my book Misfit to Maven in 2014, when no one was using the word Maven yet, now everyone's a something Maven, right? But then I didn't know what it was. And this idea of holding more than one truth in the palm of our hands, like, I've seen you talk about it a lot. I've seen it, like, it's becoming heard and understood.
Mm. I love that. The duality thing, the holding more than one truth, it's, for me, it's Aquarian. It's part of this Aquarian age shift. And I know people bicker over the timeline of it. I believe 2012 was the point at which we really shifted from Piscean energy to Aquarian energy. The timeline, I suppose, is irrelevant, but the Aquarian vibe is all about this duality. It's the capacity to hold shadow and light. It's the capacity to hold masculine and feminine. It's the capacity to hold more than one truth and to literally be a walking conundrum of all the things. You can hold conflicting beliefs inside of you as long as they serve you. And the reason that this is so important is because when we can hold more capacity, we hold more compassion. And so when we hold more compassion, we're moving towards healing ourselves as a conscious race, as a conscious community of souls sharing this planet. When we hold just one singularity, when it's, no, this is my truth and this is my only truth, and I won't even entertain anything that conflicts with that, or I am just masculine, I am just feminine, I am just misfit, I am just Maven, holding that singularity puts you in immediate conflict to other souls in your presence, living on this very same planet. But when you shift that energy into, actually, I can be both masculine and feminine, misfit and Maven, shadow worker and light worker. I can hold truths that are completely conflicting. I can be right wing and left wing and center. I can, you know, believe in this, but also believe in that. I can believe in vaccines and being, you know, like all the things. You suddenly expand your consciousness into a capacity where you are far more conscious and compassionate. And that's when you're able to receive others, receive more energy, receive more money, receive more love. And can you imagine a world where more people enter into that compassionate state of holding duality? I mean, we could end war and go on.
No, I can. And I feel like it's the weirdest sensation. It's like, this is what I've been alive for my whole life, right? Like, this is what we've been training for. This is what we've been showing up every day for. And I think for a lot of people who have been holding these truths and talking the talk and putting one step in front of each other for a long time, they feel both ready for whatever is next and terrified that it's happening, right? Like, you know that sensation where it's like, I've been living this, dreaming it, putting it on my vision board, like creating it, whatever it is. Well, I'm not talking about the whole world right now. And then it happens and you're like, oh my God, this thing, it's really real. Do you experience that?
Yeah, I do. And actually, you know, I think everyone is accelerating with incredible speed at the minute. It is just part of it. We're all shifting into, oh my God, I am my own sovereign power. Oh my God, I can actually create my own reality. Hang on a second. I've got everything that I always wanted. How the hell did that happen? And I'm seeing more and more people suddenly opening their eyes to, whoa, I am that powerful. I can do this. How did that happen? But equally, I'm also seeing people open their eyes to, oh my God, that shit that I was scared of, that's really real. And that's actually here. And I am now being faced with this. I think we're all just being accelerated and catalyzed into soul recognition on all the levels, the dark levels and the light levels.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time to be alive. It really is. I sometimes have to keep reminding myself of that, especially when I turn on the news. I just turn it back off again and I go, it's a really exciting time to be alive. I definitely only incarnated at this time for a very good reason, and I'm pretty sure those reasons are not coming out of mainstream media, so I'm just going to turn that off. But yeah, for the most part, looking around and going, wow, shit, my sovereign power did this, that's pretty fucking cool.
It is really cool. And excitement and fear are the same in frequency, really. Like, they're right in that middle place. And so if we can be courageous, then we turn it into excitement. And if we are going to turn towards fear and scarcity, then it's going to be scary and terrifying, right? Mm-hmm.
Fear is something that we create. I keep coming back to this. So many conversations with people recently, because I'm launching and enrolling people in my new program. And the fear that people have around spending money, investing in themselves, investing more time, daring to distract themselves from this comfort zone that they've been in, just fear around so many things. And I look at them and I go, but you created that fear. And they go, what do you mean?
I really want you to talk about this. So many, like one of my clients right now, she's like, every single person I speak to, they say, it sounds amazing, but, and then I literally stop listening because everything that comes out of their mouth is a reason, but it's also an excuse and a fabricated fear. But I don't think very many people are willing to hear that.
No, of course they're not, because they're creating the fear as a wall rather than a door. Okay, so we're presented with opportunities that look like doors into a whole new world, paradigms, matrices, essences, beings, manifestations, right? We're being presented with them all the time because it's one of the ways that the soul works inside the universe. We're all bound by the law of expansion. The universe is always expanding. Our soul is always expanding. Our desires are always expanding. We fundamentally want more for ourselves, for our children, for our planet, for our communities, for the people that we serve. We always want more. So whether you're conscious of it or not, you are always calling in and manifesting opportunities for yourself. And those opportunities look like doors. But then as soon as you're faced with the door and you're given an invitation to open it, the natural thing is to create fear in the form of a wall, and you brick that door up so you can't go through it because you don't know what exists beyond the door. And that's really fucking scary for people. But you have to recognize you created the bricks that are building that wall. It's only you that's stopping you going through that door. You created your fear to prevent your own expansion. It's a safety mechanism, but it's a flawed one. It's a safety mechanism that is a result of patriarchal conditioning. It's part of your programming. It's not a programming that serves you. That's why your soul called in this opportunity. That's why your soul put a door in front of you. All you have to do is open the damn door and go through it. Recognize what is playing out here on a micro level and on a macro level. This is happening the world over in our personal worlds, but also in our collective worlds. I mean, it's 2020 for fuck's sake. We don't need to explore that anymore. But it is happening the world over. We need to recognize that our fears are created by us. For no good reason other than to keep us trapped in a comfort zone. But the patriarchal matrix at large is literally a control paradigm to keep us controlled, to keep us contained, to keep us in comfort zones, because that's where it's easy for us to remain a product when we are controlled, right? And when we're a product, we can be bought and sold, and we can be harnessed and leveraged and used as a resource. We're not here to be a resource. We're here to use resources, but we hand our power over to this control paradigm that has literally conditioned us to believe that the comfort zone and the rat race and the guinea pig wheel is safe and normal. And that's terrifying. That's really fucking terrifying. And that conditioning runs so deep that we can't open the doors of opportunity for ourselves.
It's so interesting, because what happens is some of us who have stepped out of that, right? I've never had a 9-to-5 in my life. Like, the idea of someone telling me how to spend my time has never sat with me, right, since a very, very young. And yet there are always going to be blind spots. There are always going to be areas where I can't see where I have programming running, right, like where I've been conditioned. And that's why I think it's so important to have a coach or to have someone who you trust and can challenge you. You know, I spent years looking for you. I didn't know that, but I spent years looking for you because what you do for me is what I do for my clients, which is to love me fiercely and kick me up the arse from time to time.
Yeah, but we all need it. I keep saying this to people. I'm working with 4 people at the minute, mixture of coaches, healers, and psychotherapists, because adulting's hard. But we all need someone to be a mirror for us. If we truly could do everything for ourselves, if we were meant to figure it out for ourselves, we would have been born as solo individuals onto tiny little islands with no connection, no communication, no nothing. Like this whole human connection is being a mirror for each other. It's called the universal law of reflection, for fuck's sake. There's a name for it. It's part of the fabric of the universe. There's a design for it. We all need a mirror. We all need a guide. We all need a mentor. If that wasn't true, we also wouldn't need a mother. We wouldn't need someone to raise us. We wouldn't come in as children. We'd come in as fully fledged adults. The world would be completely different if we didn't need each other. We are meant to support and serve each other. We're meant to go on this journey together. We're meant to have mirrors. We're meant to have guides. We're meant to have mentors. We're meant to break down walls. We're meant to go through doorways. We're meant to leap hurdles. We're meant to jump off the end of cliffs and find our wings on the way down. It's all part of the human experience. It's universal law. It's written into the fabric of life. And then there's this other control paradigm that plays out on top of it that people just blindly believe because they can't see their own conditioning. I mean, if that's not the reason I'm here on this fucking planet, I don't know what is, but I will keep unraveling that paradigm, that matrix, that conditioning until my deathbed. I will.
I know. And I'll still be there. We'll still be chatting on WhatsApp. for people that want to come and get more of you in their world, bear in mind that this is coming out mid to late November. Where is the best place for them to come find you, get in touch with you, work with you, etc.?
I mean, to be honest, I haven't got a fucking clue what I'll be doing mid to the end of November. That's just how I roll. But whatever I am up to, you could probably find out on my Instagram, because that is my place where I go and I vent and I rant and I go through moments of impassioned speeches where I tear down walls for people. And then other times it's just me and my toddler doing stupid shit. But Instagram is probably the place. Ask_Harriet is where you will find me. HARRIETTE, because my parents thought it was fancy. Yeah, and you know, Instagram will guide you to whatever the fuck it is that I'm doing at the time.
I will put that in, and whatever other links you gave us, I'll make sure that they're in there. And
thank you.
Yeah. And do it. get involved in the Ask Harriet world, because you will be challenged, and we all need that, you know, we all need that. Will you end on an I'm an adult but with me?
Of course. So let's go right back to the beginning of this conversation, because I did put in a disclaimer. I'm an adult but I've only just managed to get washed today, and it's today, and I'm not wearing any makeup, and I'm certainly not polished or remotely perfect. I haven't slept for 10 days because my toddler is ill. I haven't got a fucking clue what I'm doing today, tomorrow, next week, next month, honestly, and I'm meant to be launching, but what the fuck. I'm an adult, but I don't have it all figured out. And I have no intention of figuring it all out, because frankly, that will be boring and sensible. And in my experience to date, sensible doesn't get us anywhere but trapped. So I'd rather just go with whatever feels good to me. And if people want to say that's childish, great. I own it. I love it.
Childlike, not childish. I've been saying that a lot recently because, like, it comes with experience, you know. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think our children know a hell of a lot. And my toddler, my 2-year-old, is certainly teaching me more about just being in the moment and loving it and enjoying it and trusting it, and just more faith, More faith, because no one's truly got it figured out. Nobody knows what's coming tomorrow. We've navigated the unknown our entire lives to this point, and somehow we're still standing quite well, some of us. So, yeah, I'm an adult, but I'll always be a child.
Yeah. I am an adult, but some days I just want everyone else to do it for me. We've had this conversation so many times, but like, as somebody who is so fiercely independent and wants to do it all myself, one of the things that happens to me is that once a month I'm like, someone rescue me. I don't want to do any of it anymore. I wish you could just switch it off, life. Do you know what I mean? I could just switch it off, put it on standby for a day or so and then come back. And I'm getting much better at actually doing that.
I was going to say, yeah, because I do sometimes. Some days I'm like, I'm not doing life today. I am getting off and I'll pick it all back up again tomorrow or the day after that. Because why? Like the weight and the pressure of responsibility is, again, something that we've created. We can uncreate it if we choose to.
Yeah, I said that yesterday. I was coaching a client in a bikini outside and they were like, I said, you don't mind, do you? I mean, I knew they didn't, is why I did, you know. And for some people I'll put clothes on, but not everybody. And it's like, I used to have such a thing about being professional. I used to care so much that I wasn't being professional enough, and I don't even know what that is anymore.
No, me neither. It's really interesting because I swear one of the priestesses in the priestess ring was, we were talking about professionalism in the WhatsApp group the other day. And I remember saying something along the lines of, but what the fuck is professional? And why would you want to be professional? People don't want you to be professional. People just want you to be you. This, the whole idea of the you, the person, and then your business, and then the face that you put on in your business, like all of that's just kind of collapsed into one just great big mush of, this is me as all the things, doing all the things. It's not really even a business. It's just me and my sole purpose showing up as me, like fully aligned, fully authentic, real, raw, all the things. Why do we have to have a business? Why does it have to be a separate identity? Why do we have to be professional in that business? Why can we not just show up and serve as our souls intended? Because
some man somewhere got scared and wanted an order and thing, because the static masculine needs things to be put in boxes and compartmentalized and labeled. And there is a part of that that is useful, right? But not to the extreme, not when it's inflated to the place that it is right now. Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, the masculine has its part. It has its part in calendars and schedules and diaries and workflow management.
It means that we can both show up at the same time and actually have a conversation, right? Because if we were totally in our feminine, neither of us would arrive at a portal, at a time. We would never meet. So there does need to be an element of it in order to get to run a business in any way, right?
No, of course. And listen, I'm sure if you and I were fully in our feminine, we would have astral projected somewhere and met. Probably wouldn't have been recorded, so therefore not useful to the collective. True. But I'm sure we would have collided somewhere. That's just the feminine way. But I hear you. You're right. It has its place, but absolutely, you're correct. Not to the extreme that we've been conditioned to.
No. Right. We're going to stop because otherwise this will be too long for people to listen to and neither of us will get anything else done today. So thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Always an honour. Love talking to you. And yeah, well, we could do this for hours. Maybe we'll pick it up another time when people have questions after this episode and then we can come back and answer some of that. That would be amazing.
I would love that.
Beautiful. Thank you for having me. And to all Ebony's people, I love you through Ebony's love for you. She's amazing. Keep doing all the things with her. And yeah, I hope this episode was really useful.
Thanks.
Pleasure. I love you.
I love you too.
I'll see you soon.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing, for rating and reviewing. If you have enjoyed this free content, please take a moment to rate us, to share an episode, to spread the word on social media, or to come find me on Instagram and tell me what you thought. On Instagram, I am @EbonyAllard, and I will see you in the DMs. Bye.